This is Weekday. I'm Steve Scherr. Guitars can be powerful symbols. When lashed onto somebody like Keith Richards or Jimi Hendrix, they can epitomize hard-sounding, hard-living, loud rock and roll. When plucked by a flamenco player, they can evoke sultry nights and romance. So where did the guitar come from? How has it evolved? Why is it such an icon in our culture? And what changes can we expect to see in the guitar of the future? We thought we'd take that up this hour on Weekday. Steven Novacek is director of the Guitar and Lute Program and a classical guitarist. He works at the University of Washington. Thanks for being here.
Thanks.
Gene Nygaard is guitarist and maker of Zero Guitars. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Ron Reed is an instrument maker, manager of Dusty Strings Guitar Shop.
Thank you.
And Jay Boone is owner of Emerald City Guitars. Thanks for being here.
You bet.
So how did each of you come to be involved in the guitar? Was it your first, was it your instrument of choice?
Yeah, it was. I mean, I grew up kind of in L.A. My father was a guitar player and is. You know, he started at 14 in Chicago and retired about 82 as a guitar player and a singer. And I guess it was just kind of a natural thing for me to go in. I was always around a lot of other musicians. But I, like so many other classical guitarists in this country, I started playing probably surf music, and then blues was my first real love. And I grew up in L.A. at the right time in the right place. I was doing studio work before I got out of high school and touring with a lot of rock bands. And I even got to tour in my early 20s, 21. I was touring in Spain with a couple of flamenco troupes. So it was just kind of a natural progression to get into classical for me.
You were playing in studios when you were a teenager in L.A.?
Yeah, about 17. I was working for Liberty, RCA, 20th Century, a number of different film and recording companies.
Just what all those people are afraid about. Afraid of, right?
Afraid of.
Young person playing guitar music.
Yeah, they might have to read.
Gene Nygaard, what about you? How'd you start? How'd you get involved in guitar?
Early 60s, rock and roll, Jan and Dean, Beach Boys. And since then, I've been playing music for some 35 years.
And what's Zero Guitars?
Zero Guitars are a semi-hollow aluminum guitar. Electrics, and it's like a tonal experiment that I started with. I'm a slide guitar player, and I wanted to build a guitar made out of metal, and basically I just, I went to Boeing one day and bought some scrap and built a guitar.
So has it worked, the experiment? Do you like it?
Yeah, it's surprising what's come along with it. I've sold quite a few instruments.
And Ron Reed, how'd you start into the string world instrument? Yeah,
considering that currently I play mostly traditional music on an acoustic instrument, I started as an adolescent in the late 70s and early 80s playing punk rock on an electric guitar. You know, groups like the Sex Pistols and the Dead Kennedys were how I entered into music. And, after being in that environment for a few years, I saw a young man playing on the streets of Baltimore, Maryland. His name was Michael Hedges, and he was studying at the Peabody Institute for Music in Baltimore, and I was just completely blown away by what I heard there with the one quiet, long-haired guy, you know, playing delicate fingerstyle music, and that made a dramatic change in my musical taste and what happened ever since then.
And Jay Boone, what about you?
My earliest recollection of guitar is looking through a Sears catalog back in the early 60s and seeing a Dan Electro for $29.95, and for some reason being drawn to that. And then I think in the fourth grade, when I first heard the Beatles, we all wanted to be Beatles. You know, we all wanted to be Paul McCartney, John Lennon, George. And, from that point on, I was into the guitar. Then I heard Jimi Hendrix, of course, and that opened up a whole other world. And so I made a run at world domination and, got accomplished about everything I ever dreamed I would do except make the big cash payoff at the end. And I've just been enamored by guitars my whole life.
Have other instruments intrigued people to want to make changes on them in the last 50 years, to pick a number? The flute's been amplified, the violin's been amplified, but the guitar, it seems people are always sort of tweaking with the guitars in different ways.
Oh, guitars are constantly going through changes. People are trying to make it a better instrument all the time. But basically, when you come around, it's basically the instrument of, say, 1850 1860. It's basically the same thing. It's just been improvements.
At your store, do you have lutes? Do you have instruments of earlier eras?
We carry ouds, which the lute is derived from. So it's a very similar instrument. It's a fretless instrument. It's very popular in the you know, around the Mediterranean.
And the oud is the ancestor of the guitar? Is that the father of the guitars?
Well, the oud is more the father of the lute, and the lute may be a grandfather of the guitar. The lute and the vihuela, I suppose.
And what's the vihuela?
Well, the vihuela is a pretty interesting instrument. It came about 1535 in Spain. It only existed from about 1535 to about 1595. But if you think about a lute, it's kind of a teardrop shape. And if you look at it in kind of a profile, the back with slightly darker sides and the light spruce top, it looks like the shape of a half moon. Well, the Inquisition was very strong, particularly in Spain during this period of time. So the Catholic Church outlawed the lute in Spain. And, of course, it was a royal instrument. It was in all the courts and everything. So they came up with an instrument that was basically shaped like the guitar that had five sound holes in it. And it was tuned. It was six courses, five double strung and a single top course. And it was tuned just like the lute, but it was the vihuela. In a sense, the early vihuelists, Luis Milan and Mudara and some of these other composers, are the first ones that talk about a lot of modern techniques we use, you know, with alternating I and M and using the A finger. And a lot of the techniques we use today go all the way back to the 1560s, 1570s.
And it came about because people were trying to avoid being burned at the stake?
Exactly, yeah. So Council of Trent is why we're all sitting here today.
So the guitar has its early rebellious antecedents,
yeah,
huh?
From the beginning.
I read in some history site that said there were pictures even back as far as Sumeria of fretted stringed instruments. Were those played? Were those instruments that could have been the guitar?
Yeah, they think that it goes all the way back. Egyptian, Greek. Now they're finding more and more evidence how old the guitar actually was. And in a sense, the guitar actually existed all the time that the lute had its reign, which from the Age of Enlightenment through the Baroque period, there was a four-course and then a five-course Renaissance guitar and then a five-course Baroque guitar. But the lute so much dominated that period of time. Even now, today, as classical guitarists, we'll play more of the lute music than we do of the guitar music.
Well, what was the guitar music like back then when the lute was around at the same time?
Well, it was, by the time we get to the Baroque and the late Renaissance, it was quite sophisticated. We had some, you know, great composers. The very early, you know, coming out of the Dark Ages and the beginning of the Age of Enlightenment and the Renaissance, the four-course guitar was tuned more like a ukulele, and it was used primarily by wealthy wives of soldiers in Italy and stuff to entertain themselves while their husbands were away at war. But then within
or
a very
so
short
the
period,
story goes.
Or the, so the story goes. But within a short period of time, there was a lot of development there. But part of the reasons we don't do as much of that music is because there were five courses on the late Renaissance and early Baroque guitar, and the fifth course was actually an octave higher than the one we have now. So the music's quite different. So you really actually almost have to use that tuning. There are quite a few people playing, however, these early instruments, yeah. Or replicas of. You
know. Or replicas?
Yeah.
Even the, what was the vihuela?
The vihuela, there's only one real one in existence, one from that period of time in pretty disrepair.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it's mostly just from written records that you know.
Yeah, we have a lot of, you know, a lot of paintings and a lot of records. And people have reproduced them, but they're not exactly the original. Not like we have those great violins and cellos and stuff from the 1700s and 1600s.
We're taking a look at the guitar this hour. Stephen Novacek, Ron Reed, Gene Nygaard, Jay Boone, our guests. Jay Boone, I guess people aren't coming to play the vihuela or the lute when they come to Emerald City Guitars. What are they looking for?
I deal mainly in vintage and used guitars. You know, earlier you were asking about the passion for your instrument, and I guess rock and roll turned 50 according to Life magazine. The guitar, to me, has become a huge icon in America.
All right, so who invented the electric guitar? Because I understand that's a controversy that we could, like, debate forever.
Well, I guess it's either Les Paul or Rickenbacker or maybe Leo Fender could have a...
I noticed
what do you guys think?
Rickenbacker were the first ones in the late 20s to start electrifying lap steels.
And Lloyd Lohr, the engineer for the Gibson Company in the early 20s, they actually kicked him out because he was coming up with ideas for electric.
Is that right?
Yeah.
He just went a little too far?
A little too far. A little too soon.
Stephen Novacek is director of the guitar and lute program at the UW. Ron Reed is an instrument maker, manager of Dusty Strings Guitar Shop. Gene Nygaard is a guitarist and maker of Zero Guitars. Jay Boone is owner of Emerald City Guitars. Let's bring some of our listeners into this, talking about the guitar this hour on weekday. Michael's in Friday Harbor. Hi, Michael.
Good morning. Good morning, Steve and gentlemen, guitar makers and players.
Hi.
My thought, I'm a guitar player. I've been playing, 35 years or more, which is a good part of my life, and I've been building guitars since 1978, though not very often, and just for myself. But I think one of the things, the appeal of the guitar, especially the electric guitar, is that you can take that instrument and modify it to suit your needs. And that, you know, I know when I started playing, the first thing I started doing was modifying it from the start. That's what I think that kind of the unique beauty of the instrument is. Recently, I just bought another guitar. I got a Fender Telecaster, which I wanted for a long time, and I told myself, I'm not going to modify this guitar. I'm going to leave it stock. And I find myself fighting that urge.
So Jay Boone, I wonder, if listening to Charles, I mean, do you get a lot of guitars that come in that you have to look over and say, do I want these modifications?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're not alone. That urge not to modify your electric guitar is a real common one. And I think the trick is, if you do modify it, try not to do things like route out a bigger hole for a pickup if you want to return it to original condition. And I remember back in the 80s when the Floyd Rose Tremolo, which was a big hurricane piece of hardware people were putting on their guitars, guys would bring in vintage Strats and have us route them out and, you know, take them to the point of no return and put those on. Then 10 years later, they'd come back and say, please, can you, you know, fill this in, refinish it, and make it like it was before. So there are good and bad things about that, but it's a lot of fun. And I guess my only advice, if you even need any, is to not do anything like that to a valuable vintage instrument.
And Gene Nygaard, that's a big business as well, those refurbishing electrics.
Yeah, I've worked on many, many guitars that have, to put it in kind words, have been butchered. And they, I mean, I've done many in, when I was younger, I destroyed many guitars that I, you know, just in, I wanted, you know, 11 pickups in this guitar. So I would make sure I got them all in there. That was many years ago, but you see that today, too. Guitars that are, instead of a route, it's chiseled out. And just, it's like having a car, like the man mentioned. You can just work on them and tinker with them and mess with them all you like. But if you want to turn them around, your value is dropped totally from the original instrument.
All right, Michael, thanks for your call. Greta's in Seattle. Hi, Greta.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I was wondering if you could talk about what people should look for in a first guitar if they're buying a guitar for the first time and they don't play yet.
Acoustic or electric or either?
I think either, but mostly acoustic. I think most people start an acoustic in the classical versus folk guitar.
Well, Ron, what do you tell people for a first guitar?
I tell people to look for something that they enjoy playing. You know, I think in an electric world, perhaps somebody wants to be Hendrix or, you know, wants to be some kind of star or something. And what we're more familiar with is someone just wants to have a good time playing a few basic chords, and they want to enjoy themselves with an instrument. Obviously, other considerations would be, is the instrument well-made? Is it going to give you problems? So that is something where a little bit of research and knowledge, I think, I tend to not stress who made the instrument, you know, because you can have people like, I want brand X. Brand X means everything to me. I say, well, brand X can be an assurance of a certain level of quality, and that's great. But beyond that, to look at, is it an enjoyable instrument to play? So something that won't give you problems, something that is physically comfortable for you to hold, something where you really enjoy playing it, and obviously price, you know, something that fits into your budget. Thank you.
Stephen Novacek playing the guitar on weekdays. Stephen Novacek, director of the Guitar and Lute Program at the UW. Ron Reed, instrument maker at Dusty Strings Guitar Shop. Gene Nygaard, guitarist and maker of Zero Guitars. And Jay Boone of Emerald City Guitars. So who's coming to you to learn the guitar, Stephen Novacek? Who's coming to your program?
Aspiring future performers. People that, mostly people that really want a career as a performer, and inevitably you'll be an educator to a certain degree. It's pretty rare now within North America and Europe that most successful classical guitarists are all somehow or another tied to an institution somewhere. Unlike computer science, we don't have a place job placement service when you get out of school.
You haven't wedded the computer to the guitar yet?
A lot of people have, but not me.
All right, then. Hank is in Seattle. Hi, Hank.
Hi. Actually, I'm in Bellevue now.
Been on hold that long.
When I was learning to play guitar in the early 1960s, I remember a whole lot of folks playing a Gibson C1. I wonder what's happened to the production values that allowed that good a little nylon string acoustic guitar to be made back then. And why are those things so hard to find now?
Anybody know? Ron or Steven as acoustic players?
Well, I think that one of the reasons for that is that what's become so popular with nylon string players, I mean, is the fact that we have so many hand builders, individual builders that build an instrument from start to finish. And there is such a large group of them that they've really taken over that market. And I don't think a lot of the more larger manufacturing companies choose to continue to compete in it.
Yeah. So this is a question from Charles. Are we really talking about two instruments here, acoustic and electric, before the advent of Les Paul and an amplification of studio music? Guitar wasn't the lead instrument, right? I mean, guitar was more in the background. And a classical guitar either had to play on its own or...
What period of time?
Well, before amplification, so before electricity, I guess.
Well, I mean, as a classical guitar, it was a solo instrument for, a couple hundred years prior to this. I mean, as Gene said earlier, 1840 is when the Taurus guitar came about, the first classical guitar that is basically no different from what we have today. It's the same instrument. But prior to that, we had Fernando Soar and Giuliani and Carcassi and Carulli and all these other great players in Europe, and they were solo players, plus the players that played with toured with, say, Paganini, the violinist, Napoleon Cost, and all these different players. And they played 6, 7, 8, and 10-course guitars that were not double-strung. We lost the double-stringing somewhere during the classic period.
Because they had hollow bodies and
they were all hollow bodies.
They could project so they could play out in front of.
Well, we also didn't, about the full piano was developed about the same time as well. So if we go back, the history of the guitar and piano are actually fairly similar. We had piano forte before the piano. We had the smaller 6-course guitar that these other players played before that. And then prior to that, we had the harpsichord and we had the lute, or all the clavichord, family. So the guitar was both used as a solo instrument and very much as a continual instrument and accompaniment with other things. But volume, the need for volume changed over the years, also as we go deafer.
and the role of the instrument kind of determines that need for volume, because up until 1900 or so, you primarily would see instruments just used for people's own amusement in their own homes or parlors, and hence you see old guitars from that era called parlor guitars. And it was only at the turn of the last century that people started using steel strings on guitars. I think there's makers in Chicago called the Larson Brothers who first started using steel strings in 1900, and then only in the 20s did Martin, for instance, start using steel strings. And that was the development of the instrument, where people were playing more with a plectrum, and the guitar was just coming into its popularity in mass culture in the 20s, because the banjo actually was the more popular instrument, and the mandolin in the early 20th century. So that has changed the instrument as its role changed in society.
Jay is in Bellevue. Hi, Jay.
Hi there. What a fascinating show. Hey, I'm an amateur woodworker and been plucking on guitars and have been interested in building my own. And I'd like to know if they could point me, how should I get started?
How do you get started?
I would say if you have access to the internet, and I'm sure most people in this area do these days, the Guild of American Luthiers would be probably your best place to start, and they are just a huge fount of information.
Good place to start. You know, one more call here before I ask you my final question. Jeff gets us there. Jeff's in Bellingham. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thanks.
Play Guitar, the tune by John Cougar Mellencamp.
Yeah.
Have you all heard it?
Yeah. Some have.
Could you comment on the role of sex and guitar playing? I'll take it offline. Thanks.
Sex and guitar playing. Wasn't that why it all started in the first place? It wasn't always a sexy instrument, was it?
Yeah, it was.
It was back then. Sure, those guys, those lute players walking around in France.
The fame and the babes.
That's right.
So, what's the future of the guitar? I mean, are you the future of the guitar in a sense? I mean, you're welding aluminum to wood in part. If wood's going to be more scarce, Gene Niger, does it become?
No, I would think it'll always be based on an archtop or an acoustic guitar or a wooden electric. There is more interest in aluminum guitars, but it's a very to the person's ear if they'd like to have something like that.
Do you see more and more smaller makers becoming important in the field, taking it away from the big manufacturers?
I think that process has kind of reached a peak, and that in the 90s you had this huge proliferation of very high end acoustic guitar makers, and more recently seen some of those no longer in business. And I think the competition has grown quite fierce, so that you certainly have some very very fine instrument makers building instruments right now. And if you were going to go into business building high-quality acoustic musical instruments, probably the guitar would be one of the harder markets to get into. I would say, in looking at materials, certainly wood is a very fine material. It's becoming more scarce, and what we will probably see are the substitution of some synthetic materials into the instrument. In Woodinville, they just moved from Hawaii to Woodinville. There's a company called Rainsong that's making carbon fiber guitars that are... We have them at Dusty Strings, and they're remarkably good sounding.
And you started out by saying that people were demanding, in a sense, the old instruments, but they have to be getting scarcer.
Well, what's interesting is, going along with what Ron said about materials, what I see more and more factories like or companies like Fender and Gibson doing are making what I call disposable guitars, a guitar you can buy for brand new for between $150 and $200. This is electric and acoustic to a certain extent. That's going to wear out and be pretty much a throwaway in a couple of years.
So Alex Roberts wanted me to ask each of you for your one favorite guitar in email. Do you have a favorite? If you could have only one, do you have a favorite?
I think mine, the John Gilbert guitar, is really a fantastic guitar. I like it. It projects. It travels well. It's got such a beautiful balance between high and low end.
Gene, do you have one? Yours, I imagine.
I would say a 61 Fender Stratocaster. That's what I have. It's extremely versatile.
What about you, Ron?
I have an instrument made by an English luthier named Stefan Sobel, who's probably my instrument-building hero. He uses almost an archtop, although it's not an archtop instrument. So you combine some of the projection of an archtop instrument with the tonal kind of richness of a flat-top guitar, and it's just endlessly fun.
And Jay, you have a favorite?
I'm going to go with a 59 Gretsch White Falcon.
Because it looks cool? It sounds great?
Combination of both.
All right. Sexy
guitar, that's right.
And where we started it. Jay Boone is owner of Emerald City Guitars. Gene Nygaard is the guitarist and a maker of Zero Guitars. Ron Reed is an instrument maker at Dusty Strings. Steven Novacek, director of the Guitar and Lute Program, UW. Thanks for your phone calls. Thank you all for talking with us today.
Thank you very much.
This is Weekday.